Hi, everyone. I'm Gary Nall. Always a pleasure to share positive insights in how to live a longer and healthier and happier life. Today, we begin with a study from Sebzevar, University of Medical Sciences. You've heard me mention many times about the cure for everything except death is black cumin seed oil. There are hundreds of things that it happens to be very compatible with. It can help stop inflammation. It can help kill cancer cells, does a lot of good. Here's something new. By topically putting it on the skin, it can help beat Tylenol for pain relief and osteoarthritis. And we have millions, tens of millions of people suffering from various forms of arthritis, and they generally use Tylenol. However, Tylenol has side effects. This does not. So try this. This is recently over-the-counter pain-killing drugs like ibuprofen and Tylenol have been found to have a battery of serious adverse side effects, some even life-threatening. And due to the growing concern about both the physical and psychological harm of these pharmaceutical agents, interest in natural, evidence-based alternatives have been explored. A recent clinical trial compared topical black cumin seed oil with oral Tylenol on pain in elderly osteoarthritis patients. One group received 1 milliliter of black seed oil applied on the knee joints 3 times a day, every 8 hours, for 3 weeks. Another group was given 1 325 milligram of Tylenol 3 times a day, every 8 hours, for 3 weeks. This study was performed on 40 elderly patients, average age 77, about equal between men and women. The study results showed that topical application of Nigella, N-I-G-E-L-L-A, sativa, S-A-T-I-V-A, that's black cumin seed oil, or Tylenol reduced pain in elderly with knee osteoarthritis. But it was much higher with the black cumin seed oil. Just something we should have in our house in any case. Also, higher aerobic fitness levels are associated with better word production skills in healthy older adults. Have you ever noticed in people generally over the age of 50, they sometimes have trouble grasping a word that they would normally have used without a problem earlier? That's what we're talking about. This was done at the University of Birmingham, and healthy older adults who exercise regularly are less inclined to struggle to find words to express themselves. That's what they discovered. They found that older adults' aerobic fitness, I mean power walking, biking, swimming, jogging, are directly related to the instance of age-related language failures, such as that, oh, it's on the tip of my tongue phenomena. This was published in the peer-reviewed journal Scientific Reports. One more reason to exercise, right? And this worked equally well in both men and women. Now, a vitamin that stops the aging process of organs. Yes, this is from Zurich and University of Zurich, and this is important. It is known as nicotinamide riboside, and it also has been shown in several studies to be effective in boosting metabolism. And now a team of researchers at the Laboratories of Integrative Systems Physiology has unveiled even more of its secrets. An article published in Science describes the positive effects of this on the functioning of stem cells. These effects can only be described as restorative. Now, it's very important if you're using NAD, that's another source of this, and it has a positive effect upon the liver, the kidneys, muscles, including your heart muscle, and there's a regenerative capacity. Their ability to repair them following an injury is also affected. And this leads to many of the disorders of typical aging. You can't repair the damage. But now, with this, you can. Researchers wanted to understand how the regeneration process deteriorated with age. And through the use of several markers, they were able to identify the molecular chain that regulates how mitochondria, the powerhouse of the cell, functions and how they change with age. The role that mitochondria play in metabolism has already been amply demonstrated, meaning that when you take NAD, you're going to have more energy. in your cells, and especially your brain, especially if you take it with coenzyme Q10 and L-carnitine. And the researchers gave nicotinamide riboside to two-year-old mice, which is an advanced stage for them. And the substance, which is close to vitamin B3, a precursor of NAD3+, a molecule that plays a key role in mitochondrial activity. And the results showed muscular regeneration. The researchers gave nicotinamide riboside to two-year-old mice. By the way, that's old for a mouse. And the substance, which is very close to vitamin B3, is a precursor of NAD+, a molecule that plays a key role in mitochondrial activity or energy activity. The results showed muscular regeneration is much better in mice that received it and lived longer than the mice that did not. And there are no negative side effects either. That's good news. Also from the Chinese University of Hong Kong, early signals of Parkinson's found in the gut microbiome and also rapid eye movement sleep disorders. Scientists at the Chinese University of Hong Kong have found that your gut and the bacteria in that gut holds Parkinson's disease markers and can indicate a method of early diagnosis. This was published in Nature Communication, the peer-reviewed journal. I'll put it in simple lay language. Every time you eat something or drink something, either contributes in a good way to your gut bacteria or in a negative way. Sugar, meat, fried foods, negative. Soft drinks, negative. Caffeine, negative. But fresh juices, apple juice, grape juice, lemon, lime, celery juice, all good. But you really want to help that gut bacteria, you take something that is a fermented product, like miso. Low sodium miso is good. Tempeh, tofu, sauerkraut, low sodium sauerkraut. And all that's terrific. Or you just get a capsule, probably the easiest and best for most people, that gives you a billion or more of the probiotics. And that way you colonize a very healthy gut. The healthier your gut bacteria, the healthier your immune system. It's that simple. All right, and that's what they found when looking at this. So you're more likely to be at risk for Parkinson if you don't have healthy gut bacteria. And that's why cleansing, rejuvenation is so important. And also another study from University of Southampton, United Kingdom, moderate to severe midlife, and that can be anywhere from 30 to 40, 45. If you have anxiety, that can be linked to dementia in later life. This was published in the British Medical Journal, Open. So there's a mounting body of evidence suggesting that mental illness may be associated with dementia in older age, but it's not clear if it represents initial, which is the symptoms before the advent of fully fledged disease, or if it acts as an independent factor. So just something to consider. So what's the solution? All of us have anxiety at some point. Now, hopefully it's short term. The best solution I can give you are three things that I found have worked across the board in all types of anxiety conditions. One is to do deep meditation, mindful meditation, to do simple things, listen to calming music, flute, Gregorian chants, waterfalls. All of these relax us, bring down the cortisol hormones, the stress hormones, take us out of that. Deep breathing, deep diaphragmatic breathing. Breathe deep, slowly, and then exhale the same way. The breathing then coordinates with our heart and creates a better electrical charge with the heart. Because when you're anxious, you're breathing up in your throat. You're generally very tense. You're anxious. You're hyperventilating. You know, you're hyper explaining, your voice goes way up. Calm it all down. When I go to bed at night, I generally sleep within less than a minute. I start by just deep breathing for about 10 times, and then I simply say, calm, 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 and boom, I'm out, and get a good night's sleep. And then two others that I would suggest. Hypnosis is very good because it gets to the core of why you're anxious. and then takes that core message you might have had your whole life from something early in life, and you're just responding to it now with anxiety or fear, guilt or shame, and you change the words. The hypnotherapist will take what had happened early in life and rewrite that script and put a different script into your mind so you can relax and release that energy. You have a new energy to take its place, one that is not stress-inducing, and also acupuncture. I've had a lot of people comment about how thick my hair is. I just got 3 inches of it cut because I'm going down to do a 2-week anti-aging retreat, and my hair was way long. And it grows like this, as do my fingernails. Pink, hard, smooth skin, no wrinkles. I have nothing done to my skin. I mean, this is the way it is. But I understand what causes the skin to stay young, and that is vitamin C and quercetin and exercise and lengthening the telomeres in my body. Exercise does that. Cleansing does it. But also acupuncture stimulates hair growth. So if you're having trouble with your hair falling out or thinning, turning gray, just 2 needles right in the middle of the scalp. If the acupuncturist mine, it's a medical doctor from China, Shanghai University. So he's really good. And I've seen it work on people who have kidney problems and pain. So acupuncture is one of the finest non-invasive, non-toxic therapies you can use. All right? Helps your hair as well. Now, so let's just realize there are ways we can deal with stress without over-emoting. I know a person that this is not unusual. I'm sure you have someone in your life that acts the same way. How's it going? Oh, everything's all right. Okay, good. And then you start to talk. Then you find they start to change the subject. And it always comes back to them and how they're a victim. But they pray to God every day and they're going to get through this, you know, because... And then they just keep going on and on, and you think, wow, I've heard this same conversation 100 times, but then they get really angry. They can yell. They scream. Yeah. I know people like this. And you try to calm them down. It doesn't work. And then they act like it never happened. And what I find are 2 characteristics of these individuals. First, they never are introspective. Everything is the emotional and tactile level. You sense in their body, you know, there's a tension, a tightness. They're really wound tight. And then they explode, then they unwind, and then they wind back up again. And they just keep doing this. But never once did they say, you know something, I opened a door to my dark side. I'd never done that. I was embarrassed. I didn't like what I saw. But I had to acknowledge, I have more control over my life, my feelings, my emotions than what I believed. I wanted to believe that I was in this bad place in life because everyone out there was playing with my mind. Now that I know that I also participated in these events, I can disconnect that energy by focusing upon what I can do now under my own power and will, and stop blaming other people, stop telling my story of woe. Now that's one kind of specific person, and I have yet to see one of those people change. They can say, oh, I'm doing this, I'm doing that, and they, boom, right back into the conversation. That energy comes, and with it, there's just a mother load of toxic reaction. They never take responsibility, and as a result, you can never grow further than your weakest point. And that's true for everyone. Not the vast majority of people do not have that kind of tightly coiled. I'm sure you all have had either friends or family or people at work or in your life at some point that no matter how many times they vent, they're like a spitting cobra. They just make new venom. The only thing you can do is hope that they change, be there to support them if they do or if they need any additional insights. But regressive hypnosis is the single best thing they can do. It really makes a difference. I worked with a group of psychologists, psychiatrists, who were also personal close friends. Dr. Donald Mullins at the Albert Ellis Center, Dr. Elaine Kahn, Dr. Alan Putterman, Dr. Carmi Harari. These are people in the 1960s and 70s who were really at the top of their game. Very positive people. They listened to people. They also did regressive hypnosis. And they would say the greatest benefit is when a person allows themselves to go under hypnosis, and then they find that conversation or the behavior that happened generally earlier in life, and they lock that in to their subconscious. But it's there waiting for something to trigger it. And then you start seeing this inappropriate behavior having really nothing to do with the moment they're in. And you've got to change that message. When you can change that message, then it's like, it's just a different human being emerges, their authentic self, not this conditioned, defensive, aggressive, and angry self. All of us have a dark side. All of us from that dark side, and I'm not saying dark as if in evil, I'm just saying unresolved, unrequieted issues. And for different reasons, we just don't take the time and energy and effort to resolve them. We kind of adapt our life so nobody has to see it or experience it. And it was kind of interesting when the whole world was aghast, and when an actor, a very famous actor, Mel Gibson, was drunk and let it rip, making all kinds of stupid statements. And he was ostracized for quite some time in Hollywood. Fortunately, they forgave him and allowed him back, and he did good work after that. It doesn't mean that he changed, but you learn some lessons. And I thought at the time, what hypocrites. Who hasn't said things they regret or would not want the world to know? Who has not thought, even if they haven't said, thoughts that were inappropriate? All of us have thought things we shouldn't have, or it's there, you think about it, but you don't empower it. You thought about saying something, just like when Luann and I are speaking about people coming, wanting to come to, she gives them a real thorough vetting, and she says, oh, you got some real dysfunction out there, Gary. But I can't say that. I may think it, but I can't say it. Of course. We all have to realize that there has to be a vetting system to our thoughts, so the vast majority of time, whatever we're sharing, is of a positive nature, a feel-good nature, or even you have to be stern, but don't be punishing in your sternness. So the next time we go to eviscerate and destroy someone because of something they said, ask yourself, have I ever said anything that I'd be embarrassed if the world knew? And wouldn't it be nice that for 1 year, there was some form of sign that you had to walk with, and on that sign, you had no control were the worst thoughts you've ever had or the worst things you've ever said. But every teenager in America would end up being embarrassed, because how many times have you had a teenager who didn't get what they wanted in that moment, was angry and cursed you out, or if they didn't, I wished you were dead, and run up and slam the door. Of course, 15 minutes later, they're coming back asking for money to go to the mall. And we forgive these things, all right? There are different times in life where we do things that are just stupid, because we are stupid. We're not wise. We're not learned. That's part of the evolution of life. That's why we have elders that we should respect, who have all that knowledge of living, all the mistakes made. And they'll tell you, if you can't deal with your weakest point, your strongest point is limited by your weakest point. That's true in everyone. So just think about that, because one of the factors that determine how long we're going to live and the quality of that life is being able to have a positive disposition. Look at every problem as a learning experience instead of something that you have to take personally. And then just understand that if you don't deal with these, you're going to prematurely age your brain, and hence dementia, Alzheimer's, Parkinson's, almost always come where there's been a lot of stress. I just want to expand this article out a little further to let you know, deal with these things in some of the ways you can. And also lastly, from the University of Glasgow, too much red meat and too few vegetables can increase your body's biological clock. You prematurely age. This is an important study. A diet containing too much red meat, which is almost everyone is consuming too much red meat. You've heard me say, and I've done the study on this in the laboratory, and I've done the math on it. You need about 10 for the average person. Let's say you're your average female, and let's say you're around 130 pounds, you may be more or less, about 50 grams of protein a day. You got it. For a man, it could be, depending upon your size, your total normal body weight, how active you are, what age you are, it could go anywhere from 50 to 70 grams of protein. Well, if you're going to get 9/10 of a gram per kilogram, which is 2.2 pounds of body weight a day, that's where you're going to be. Now, you take a steak, and you're getting over 250 grams of protein in an average steak, just the meat part of the steak, plus a huge amount of calories, 8 calories per gram of fat, 4 calories, of course, for carbohydrate and protein. So you're getting a huge amount of fat, and you're getting a huge amount of protein in one meal with just one item, the meat. Well, if you need 40 grams of protein and you eat that one steak, you just had 5 to 6 days of protein in one meal and no way to store it. And that's going to cause inflammation, and that's really bad. So the researchers led by University of Glasgow found that a moderate increase in serum phosphate levels caused by red meat consumption combined with poor overall diet increased biological age like miles on the clock, in contrast to chronological age, years of age. And we've been able to demonstrate that because in our last study, which was last September, we had, for the first time, a university, major university, who has the patent on the methylation DNA test. And we all took it, all of us in the study. And it showed how old each organ was in the body. Now, it's about 60 pages. It's a long report, all in code. And so when you match the code with a person and you have a conversation afterwards, did you ever drink? Yeah, I was a, and then suddenly you look at their biological age of their liver and kidneys, it's older. And did you smoke? And then suddenly you look at the biological age of their lungs, and it's older, much older than their chronological age. So that's why every single thing you put into your brain and your body will either protect you and slow down the clock, adding years onto your life, or speed it up, all right? By the way, phosphate is naturally present in meats, fish, eggs, and dairy products, all right? So that's where, and you're breaking down that protein, which causes urea and ammonium. That's very toxic to your kidneys and your heart, increasing the likelihood of having a heart attack or stroke. That's all the time we have for Health and Healing. We're going to take a break and come right back because we have a lot of good stuff to share today. Please stay with us. Welcome back, everyone. I'd like for you to listen carefully to a few of the things I'm going to share because what's happening is this, and I believe this is absolutely planned. Historically, we could take on an issue, and we could first understand the issue and go as deeply into that as we wanted to, whatever the issue was. Let's say it was apartheid in South Africa. And then we'd find out how long the apartheid had been going on, who was responsible, what were the limitations in the quality of life for a person living, an African, versus the Afrikanum, versus the white settlers, versus the Dutch, and all the other people who had colonized that area, their quality of life versus the person that they had, in effect, put into slavery. And you could debate, you could have dialogue, you could look at historical references, you would understand it. And that's what led many of us to go down to Washington, stand in front of the South African embassy, willing to be arrested for people we would never meet, for people who had suffered and died, to help stop it. So stopping things that are happening that are wrong, almost always you had people who were well into the knowledge of that fact. You had generally one or two things at a time. Now we have 100. We have an avalanche of toxicity coming all at once. I mentioned that I believe that the entire democratic establishment has committed a crime against humanity by allowing all these immigrants to come in the United States without first providing them with an education, languages, helping them with their health and diseases, because a lot of these people are coming across with illness, including tuberculosis, which is going to spread everywhere they go. Also, what good does it do to have someone in this country, 6.5 million in just the last 2 years of the Biden administration, and now they're saying today, as we speak right now, it could be 150,000 or more pouring across, and then expect around 100,000 per week. That means in the next year, the next 12 months, 5 million more people. Okay, now you got 11 to 12 million people. What have you done for them? You've put them into an impossible situation, but you didn't care about any of them, did you? It's inhumane. We are a nation that was made great because of immigrants. And You do no one a favor by bringing someone in unless you have work for them, legitimate and sustainable housing, a way that they can take care of themselves and their families. And we don't have that. We just keep busing them around to sanctuary cities. And now what you're going to see, I believe, I hope I'm wrong, is the ghettoization of all of the major cities, at least the blue state cities, because they said, we want these people for purely political reasons. And because they wanted the vote, they wanted to control their future. This is one way to do it. But I haven't seen any of these people acknowledging what it means to be a person coming across here, maybe from a terrible place where they were, El Salvador, Guatemala, Honduras, terrible in Honduras. And then come the gangs. And the Honduras gangs are the ones that are charging rent for all these people in these cities in these, with these tents and then supplying with fentanyl. Fentanyl, child sex exploitation, it's going to be a tsunami, along with just regular, decent human beings looking for better quality of life. What we promise and what we give are two different things. So you want to do it right. Do it with humaneness. Do it with a spiritual sense of come into this country and we're going to help you assimilate into here. Otherwise, they're going to end up in a ghetto, or they're going to end up, unfortunately, a lot of the young people are going to end up in gangs, and already we're going to see a burst in gangs. I predict that we'll have close to 5 million gang members over the next 5 years. That means that gang members alone and the 30,000 gangs that they're coming from would be one of the largest cities in America if they were all in one place. But they're not going to be in one place. They're going to be in the places where they're allowed to get away with this. New York City. And once it starts, it will not stop. Who's going to pay for that? Everyone living in New York City. Watch your taxes go up. All your taxes. So the people who want to do something political to maintain power and are utterly corrupt, they didn't think about putting a person in a position to fail. And that's all that's going to happen. Anyhow, those are my thoughts. I'd like yours. I've already told you in detail. I've written articles. I've done one-hour specials on how to bring people in this country so when they come in, they're coming in fully aware of where they're going to go, where they're going to live, how they're going to make their living, how they can get their education, and how they can contribute to our society, as historically they have. This is not the way to do it. So what do you think is going to happen when rich neighborhoods are going to start being vandalized, as they are now? Right now, some of the gangs are very smart. They will follow. They'll have their members outside of every important restaurant in Los Angeles, for example. Someone comes out who's got a Lamborghini, a Ferrari, a Maserati, you know, a high-end car. They'll follow them home. They'll see where they live. The person goes in, opens the gate, and before the gate can close, they already have their people in, guns, hostages, steal everything they can from them. And that is on the rise. That's not going to slow down. That's going to increase because people are going to go where they can. You know, why should they smash and grab in a district on Rodeo Drive when they can go into someone's house who's got original paintings worth $10 million, steal the paintings, hold a gun to the wife's head, send the husband down to the bank, max out all your ATMs. There'll be a person there. If you should call out to the teller with the eye contact or something, they let you know the next little call you get on your phone will be a picture of the severed head of your husband or wife. Think that's not a deterrent to speaking out? Oh yeah, these guys are ruthless. Ruthless. And that's what is now going to permeate all of America because we have an open sign and a green light. Come on in. Exploit. Do whatever you want. And unfortunately, they're coming with the legitimate, decent, thoughtful, and kind people who deserve some help. But we have not done anything right. Everything has been done wrong. Everything. It's disgusting. Shame on you for doing this. But they're not the ones coming across who are going to be sleeping on a street in El Paso. Crime is up in El Paso. Burglaries are up. Robberies are up. Rapes are up. Wait till you see the tsunami that's going to happen to the major cities. San Francisco today, and Portland, Seattle today, Los Angeles today, septic tanks. New York is going to be that. It'd be kind of interesting how the people with the rich and famous now cannot avoid it. That's one issue. Now, this is another one. This is a good site. It's called Zero Hedge. And this is the author, Tyler Durden, D-U-R-D-N. Quote, elites manufacture fake hate. Crisis is a pretext for mass spying, blacklists, and censorship. This is short, but worth listening to. The public's hatred of racial, sexual, and religious minorities is so out of control that it imperils our democracy. At least that's what influential leaders, from Joe Biden and Barack Obama to former New Zealand Prime Minister Jacinda Ardern and California Governor Gavin Newsom, want us to believe. Maybe they haven't been all over the United States as I have. Maybe they haven't been on 150 book tours and lectures and filming 100 documentaries. I'm everywhere, speaking with all kinds of people, and I see a wonderful country, mainly of decent people who just want to have a good life, not extravagant. Most people don't want extravagant. Most people know they're not going to get rich. They might play the lottery, but they just want to be able to be responsible for their friends and family and their community. And we never give that credit. We never show what a regular middle-class, working-class neighborhood is like. We just show the most extreme of the wealth and power. So then they want us to believe that everyone's bad, everyone's evil, everyone's racist, everyone's sexist, everyone's discriminatory. It's not true. Stop listening to them. Quote, in a statement, Newsom's office, said the legislation, quote, in direct response to the rise in reported hate crimes in California. Want a hate crime, Governor Slick Hair? You know, who is such a hypocrite? You go to the most expensive restaurant in America with all your friends on masks, but we want to throw people in jail and arrest them, which you did, if they're seen even alone kayaking in the San Francisco Bay. The hypocrisy is palpable. But remind you, I don't blame any of the sociopathic leaders in corporate America or government or media, because it's so easy to see and so obvious how utterly in contempt of anything spiritual or honest they are. And if you haven't gotten a lesson from COVID, they've been perpetually lying about everything. But it's the people who keep electing them and expect a better outcome. They're not going to have an epiphany. No. No, this is what we're dealing with. Trying to make decent people feel that they're not decent. Making people who are tired of the system feel like they're deplorable. So read up on this. These people keep manufacturing all of this, and the media promotes it. But there's something else that's really incredibly important coming, and it's coming fast. It's coming within the next month and a half, or next 2 months. It's going to come on 4th of July. Digital currencies, where it becomes illegal. You could go to jail, like in if they use the model in European Union, if you pay cash of more than $1,000. Yeah. If you give let's say you buy something for $1,100 in European Union, you had a carpenter do some work, and you give them cash, you could go to prison. They're embarrassing, these politicians. There are a few that are okay. Claire Daly is one of them. We'll hear from her in a few minutes. But I just want you to show that I'm not the only one doing my homework and seeing what's coming at you, and it's coming from all different angles, and it's coming from people who were not elected. Klaus Schwab and the degenerates, and I call them all degenerates, because when you shame someone that you're still driving a car, you know, a diesel car, using diesel fuel, well, shame on you. We're going to have to see that that doesn't happen. So we're going to make 15-minute cities, so you have to live within 15 minutes so you're not polluting. And these are all the same people flying in on private jets from around the world and having their beef flown in from Japan, Kobe beef. And they don't see the hypocrisy. They'll hang out on one of the wealthiest men in America's yachts, and that takes more fuel to power that yacht for 1 week than you'll use in 10 years. But nobody blames them. We're nothing but hypocrites at this level. Here is a person giving you their insights on what's happening now and why you should be very, very concerned. Let's go to the clip, please.
On the 4th of July this year, Independence Day, the Americans, the Fed is launching the digital dollar in whatever form, right? So there's going to be like a digital version of the old greenback. And it raises the spectre of all sorts of ways in which these digital currencies can be controlled and programmed. You know, central bank digital currencies. Before we get into it, I suppose I have said it before in other contexts, but for the longest time, I was saying that freedom of speech was paramount. And it's very important, obviously. But in more recent times, I have come to the conclusion that the freedom to transact actually nudges the freedom of speech freedom into second place. Not by much, but I think it does. Because I think if you cannot buy and sell as you want without the state looking over your shoulder at what you're doing and maybe making the final decision on whether you can or can't make that transaction, I would say that is a greater infringement of your liberty. You know, if you're planning to go to, I don't know, stand in Trafalgar Square and shout about freedom, if you can't buy a ticket to London, then your freedom of speech is neither here nor there. You have to be able to facilitate your life financially, I would say. And so any talk about taking away cash and bringing in a digital alternative for which there is no alternative makes my blood run cold. I know people say, yeah, but I already make most of my transactions on a plastic card or I use my phone for most transactions, which is fair enough. But the fact remains, your transactions are not being tracked in real time quite yet. You know, when you use your cards from a high street bank, Bank of Scotland or whatever, it's once a day, all those transactions are rationalised at the central bank, and at that point, all the kind of transactions are seen and balanced out. But it only happens once. With these central bank digital currencies coming in, everything you do can be monitored as you're doing it. So even as you try to buy the steak or the gallon of diesel or the plane ticket or whatever, it can be seen and a decision can be made about whether or not that's going to happen. And that makes my blood run cold. So you've got this thing happening on Independence Day in the States, and already in the EU.
Yeah, you have 2 minutes left.
There's a 1,000 okay. euro limit on cash transactions. You cannot spend more than 1,000 euros in cash. That's it. So let's say you get somebody in to do a bit of work in your house or to you know, cut down some trees in your garden or something, and the bill is going to be in excess of 1,000 euros. You can't pay it in cash. It's illegal. It puts you in what they call the grey market. You know, if you were to pay somebody 1,500 euros in cash, you're trading in the grey market, which is like the black market, but not quite as bad. And if you do it, you could be prosecuted and you could be imprisoned. Okay, so there's a 1,000 euro limit on a cash transaction in the EU. Also with a digital dollar, or indeed any of the digital currencies, it can be programmed to expire. So the money that you have in your account, say it's £1,000, it can be programmed so that if you don't spend it by such and such a date, it ceases to exist. It's gone. It's like a, you know, an old time, like a gift token that you'd get from your gran at Christmas. And if you forgot about it, left it at the back of a drawer for too long, and then went to Woolworths with it and tried to spend it, it'd gone out of date. And that money that granny had spent on your, you know, had invested for you to spend in the future, it's gone. Well, the same sort of thing applies with these, is possible with these programmable digital currencies. China's already doing it. China's already got a surveillance state, and it can already monitor its citizens' transactions. And There's all sorts of high-profile people all around the world speaking about how they admire the way that China has evolved. You know, Klaus Schwab of the World Economic Forum. And the...
Here's something else you must consider. China has added a social credit score, meaning the books you read, articles you read, anything that would challenge the government or its corporate interest is flagged, and then you are warned, threatened, and then you can't buy stuff. You can't pay bills. You could be thrown out of your own house, even though you own it, if you have mortgage payments, because you can't pay the mortgage payments. So the government takes back your domicile. The same for your car. You can't get on an airplane. Do you not realize that the United States government, as corrupt as it is, as vile as it is that all of these state agencies, the CIA, that have been complicit in falsifying information for decades, they would be able to stop Chris Hedges, Naomi Wolf, everyone. They would be able to take programs completely off the air, saying it's disinformation and a threat to the public interest. Now, they've got multiple groups who are now putting this language in, hate speech. If you said something that some group didn't like that was a powerful group, they could say that's hate speech, and you would say it, suddenly find yourself in legal trouble and censored. That all comes at the same time as your digital currency, because then you've got a digital ID, and then they can control you. Once you control what a person can deposit, what they can spend, what they can, let's say you want to purchase something they disagree with, then you can't buy it. You don't have any control. So where Neil Oliver, the Scottish historian and philosopher, is telling us, heads up, this is coming in 2 months. What would I do? I would take all the money I could, and I would put it into something that would benefit me in the future that I would normally wait to do, but I would say, I'm going to do it now. So they can't control that money. They can't control that for purchase right now. Right now, you're at liberty to purchase pretty much whatever you want, as long as it's legal. And therefore, I'm putting mine into food production, for example, and other things that I won't go into. And so therefore, if they decide to close my bank account or put a stop on anything, okay, I've got everything for the next 3 years that I need, the next 5 years. Get out of debt, because the people who are most in debt, you're the most vulnerable. The people who have no debt, you're the most liquid, fluid, and get off their grid. Now, here's another little clip. It's short, it's only 60 seconds. Excess deaths in the United Kingdom are on the rise. Listen to what he has to say.
Well, a warm welcome to today's talk. It's Monday, the 8th of May. Now, I've been a bit concerned about the excess deaths of late in the United Kingdom. So I've looked at this, and I've also done a bit of an international comparison, and we do see that since the start of 2022, when COVID deaths were declining, in most areas at least, in most countries, there's been a sustained amount of excess deaths, more than we would expect based on previous year's averages for the time of year. Now, let's get straight down to specifics on this, because the figures from the United Kingdom are really quite... Well, I'll let them speak for themselves. Office for National Statistics, excess deaths, dramatic increase in the week ending the 21st of April. Most of these are, virtually all of these, are certificated deaths. So this is accurate data from death certificates. The number of deaths registered in the United Kingdom in the week ending the 21st of April, that's week 16 of the year, was 14,000.
Okay, these are excess deaths, 14,000 excess deaths. That's a lot of excess deaths in one relatively small country. Now, that's Dr. John Campbell, and he is one of the most respected people looking at the statistics. He's very dry. It takes a long time to get all the information out, generally about 30 minutes, but he's accurate on all of his material. So what do you think happened when he began to talk about the government's own statistics showed all these excess deaths, over 21% excess deaths that they had no way of determining why this person died. We don't know why he died. What was the outcome? They censored him, took him off, hard to find now, because he told the truth. There wasn't a debate about it. He's never done anything but official, and this is from the Office of National Statistics. So it doesn't matter that you're telling the truth using the government's own material. 14,024 deaths, that's 22.1% above the five-year average. That's a lot of excess deaths. In the United States, they estimate that approximately 360,000 Americans have died, and that there's 1.3 million seriously or permanently injured, and over 13 million seriously injured, but still able to get back up on their feet. Here's what we don't know. How much longer can a person go who has gotten the vaccines without showing symptoms? Because we're now seeing that this the spike protein is in and of itself a toxin to the body. That means your immune system is on high alert 24/7. Remember what I said at the very beginning? They should not give any drugs or medication to people who have autoimmune conditions, who are older with comorbidities. Instead, work on the comorbidities. We have therapies. We have legitimate medical therapies, FDA-approved procedures and medicines that can help people with their cancers and diabetes and dementia and emphysema. But no, they went for Remdesivir, the most deadly drug you can have in a hospital right now, and the vaccines, and that's suddenly what caused her immune system to collapse, and those who didn't have COVID got COVID and died. You've been lied to at every point. Now when this comes out, they're simply censoring people. They're scrubbing them from the internet, and now they want to make it against the law that if you say something, they'll consider that hate speech. What he just told you, which is based, he only read the government's own data, that would be considered hate speech, and he could be imprisoned. That's what's coming at you. So one day you're going to turn on the radio. You're not going to hear this program. You'll go up and you'll download articles. You won't have any articles download. They intend to censor everyone. Now, we're fighting back. The average person's a coward, will never fight back. You know, and that's unfortunate. And I can't change that, nor can you. But it means that there's going to be a smaller percentage of us, maybe 3 to 4 or 5%, who've got to take the fight to the corporate interest and insist upon the lawsuits, discovery. Because if we get into a lawsuit, it's in discovery and depositions that you win your case, not just in a courtroom. And you're going to see all this stuff had been planned. You'll see the emails. Even right now, the FBI is refusing to turn over a letter from a whistleblower, top IRS supervisor, showing that they had more than enough information over a year ago to indict Hunter Biden, but they won't allow that to go to a committee. Why not? Because they're so utterly corrupt. Just want to share that with you. Now we're going to take another one. So if you think you're going to get good information from these sources, you're not, and I suggest you tune in to the better sources. Now this is a different one. This is something that's happening, and you should be very concerned. This is about the fat activists are dying, all right? And these are people who are not just obese, but morbidly obese frequently, and yet they have these huge followings, and they want to shame anyone who brings it to their attention or your attention that being overweight is a problem. No, it's not. Well, if anything, you want to be morbidly obese so you can be one of them. And you see them. You see the woman sitting down and eating pizzas and everything else. And is she concerned? Not at all. And so then you see the President of the United States bringing in a new appointment to run our health programs who supports all this. Oh, no, no. Obesity has nothing to do with diet and lifestyle. Not at all. No, it's genetic. No, it's not. That person's a fool. And someone who is, I will go against anyone in the United States on the issue of health. Match from credential to credential, but also clinical experience and a lot more that they haven't done. Because I've studied obesity, because it's a very important way that you prematurely age. Have you not heard me say, and all the science, 100% of the science supports that there's no such thing as being overweight and healthy. It's like, oh, I only drink a little bit of alcohol, Gary. You know, well, no matter how much alcohol you drink, it's all bad. Well, now they're finally publishing the articles, but for the last 40 years, we've been telling people, go ahead and have a drink. Who's telling us, medical doctors? What the hell does your medical doctor know about anything except maybe their specialization? And then it's what they learn in medical school instead of what they, the real world could teach them in the newer sciences. Follow the protocols. What if your protocols are wrong? So now we know. And I wrote a book about that in 1974, Alcohol and Nutrition. So unfortunately, instead of trying to help these people, they don't want help. You try to help them, they get angry with you. And now they have legions and legions of people say, fat is beautiful. No, it's not. And if you think that fat is beautiful, then why don't you take a look inside your heart? And why don't you take a look inside your brain? Why don't you take a look inside your liver and your kidneys? Why don't you take a look at your C-reactive protein, homocysteine, fibrinogen, and LDL cholesterol levels? Why don't you take a look at your blood pressure and your diabetes level? Then tell me that that's beautiful. Tell me when someone's having their toes amputated because of gangrene, you're a diabetic neuropathy and you have your whole leg amputated because you didn't feel the cut that was on your foot that infected. Why don't you tell me what it's like not to be able to breathe because you've got now disease like COPD, more common in obesity? Why don't you tell me what it's like when you've got so much amyloid plaque in your brain that you're forgetting stuff even in your 30s and 40s? You're going towards dementia and early death. But no, we can't tell the truth about anything today, can we? Well, I sure as hell can and will. So here's a clip. So let's just understand, as bad as woke and all of its different offshoots are, this is one of the most pernicious because it's encouraging people through a woke philosophy to die sooner. And that's what's happening. Let's go to the clip.
Acceptance movement, also known as fat pride, fat empowerment, and fat activism, is a social movement which seeks to eliminate the social stigma of fatness from social attitudes by pointing out the social obstacles which are faced by fat people to the general public. While many people in this group have determined and spread through social media that obesity is not as bad as we have always thought, or that science has proven, many have embraced the word fat and deemed the word obese to now be a slur. Many won't even say the word in their home.
He said to me, well, have you eaten? And I said, yeah, I had some pizza earlier. And they said, you need to eat something like a bit more healthy. Now, there are a few words that I don't allow when somebody comes into my house, and healthy is one of them.
In fact, the NAAFA, the National Association to Advance Fat Acceptance, which was started by a white man who actually had a fetish for oversized women and started the group to bring acceptance to him and his in hopes less people would make fun of him for his choice of women. Well, in 2022, it's ran by women, fat women. Let me just read.
Just want to say goodbye to our WBA audience, but we're continuing up to the top of the hour, and please call in with your thoughts at 888-874-4888. 888-874-4888. BI's got to go to the news now. We're going to continue on PRN.live.
A little bit of their philosophy. The NAAFA have contested society's stubborn generalization that associates fatness with disease and poor health outcomes, and push back against the assumption that fat people have little regard for themselves or their own well-being. They argue that thinking about obesity as a disease or medical risk, such as having severe effects from COVID-19, contributes to the stigma because it positions larger bodies as drains on an already taxed healthcare system. To sum that up, they don't like that the numbers show, factual numbers by the way, show that being obese causes taxpayers more money. They also do not like that fatness or obesity is connected to disease and poor health because it makes them feel bad. I shall read on. The NAAFA mobilizes the term, in quotes, fat, in its fight against weight discrimination and fat phobia in all aspects of life, including in employment, healthcare, and education. Similarly, as social scientists, we use the term fat rather than the deeply problematic medical medical term, obesity, which causes harm to people under the guise of benign objectivity. These groups, and what I have shown you on this channel many times of the fat activists on TikTok saying the word obese causes harm, but interestingly enough, they never talk about the harm that obesity causes. I mean, how could they? Many of them do not even believe in science when it proves obesity comes with risks. Virgis Hovar, who I'm making a video of later, has said if science does not satisfy over 60% of the population who are obese, then we should just boot it out the window. This was said in her interview with Ulta Beauty, titled The Beauty of Fatness. We now have doctors that are telling us that obesity is just a myth and has absolutely no health risks. We have doctors who write books titled Health at Every Size, where they say obesity can be completely healthy. Bloggers saying there is no such thing as healthy food, everything's created equal, and we should never let these white males stop us from living our lives with their racial BMI chart. Well, do you know what is starting to bring some of these fat activists down? No, it's not the use of the word obesity, it's heart attacks and heart complications. Yes, and many of these fat activists are staying silent, looking the other way and continuing to perpetuate this disgusting movement started by men that wanted to get their d*** hard, that obesity is perfectly healthy. And honestly,
okay, it pissed me. Mind you, we're talking about over 100 million Americans who are obese and 200 million Americans are overweight, going towards obesity, and now we want to normalize that and shame anyone who tries to suggest a healthier lifestyle diet. Why don't you ask Lutrice Lead? As of this morning, her blood sugar level is 68. That's as healthy as you can get. Normal blood pressure, lost nearly 100 pounds now, and all of her other cancers gone, cervical cancer, endometrium cancer, and stage 4 lung cancer gone. By the way, on a separate note, I just saw today that the actor Dolph Lundgren, tall, good-looking guy, was in the Rocky movies and the Expendable movies, that he has terminal cancer at 65. So maybe someone ought to reach out to him. Let him talk with any number of people who've had terminal cancer I've worked with. Let him know there are ways of approaching this without just giving up and dying and going into hospice care or having some crappy experimental drug used on you that's not going to help you. And we'll see if there are any calls. If there are calls, we'll take them. Do we have anyone on the line at 888-874-4888? Let's just hear from you in studio. Anyone on our
line? No calls.
No?
Gary.
Okay, thank you. Okay, well, we're out of time. Let me mention quickly that our anti-aging study, which starts people arriving Sunday, one person was in a banged-up car, was not hurt themselves, but can't come because of that, because they were going to drive down. So we have one opening, and you can call Luann. The regular people were full for the health nutrition retreat at 903-881-7008. 903-881-7008. And I might mention that to get into this study, you have to show that you're disciplined, focused, and want to slow down the aging process and reverse it, because we've done it. It's not a theory. It's not a hypothesis. We've actually, we're the first to actually prove it. It's just we want to add more years onto a person's life by having more people follow the study completely. This time we've set up how that's going to be done. And also people can now call Luann and do this protocol from home. Your vitamins are going to be free. Your blood tests, your three blood tests are going to be free. You will have to pay for your DNA methylation test, and you're not going to get your vitamins until we see that you've gotten your blood test, because a lot of people just would not, they just say, oh, good, I got some very special vitamins that I didn't have to pay for. No, that's not how it's going to work. We have a control group at home. We'll be doing the same identical protocols, and then we have people on campus. And here's the question. Will people who've given everything they need, all the information at home, will they do it? And the answer is absolutely positively not. That's what we found up to this point. Now, maybe this time it'll be different because we're taking a different approach. And why? Why would people not do something if they could help prevent disease and help not go into dementia and Alzheimer's and weakness and muscle loss and all the other problems that occur? Why not? Well, that gets into, what do you believe in? Have you overcome your dark side? And if not, why not? So I'm spending a lot of time this time around in my lectures. We have about 9 lectures a day, all told, on campus. And experts are being flown in for this, and scientists around the world are going to be monitoring it via special Zoom. But I don't believe even the best-intentioned person will change anything in their life until they undo that gigantic knot that they hold in their psyche, creating existential angst, where anything that creates discomfort, they're not going to do, even if their life depended upon it. I know people who would rather die with their comfort in place than to live a whole new life by having to change. So we'll see the outcome if we give a different input that people have to process. And if they don't do it week to week and show us that they're doing their work, then they're excluded from any further. They're cut off that study. So if you want to be a person doing this anti-aging study from home, you can. But remember, you can't come in and do a little bit. You got to do it all. All right, do it all. And that's how you benefit. 903-881-7008. We only have room for 8 more people, and then we're full on the home study group. And you'll be getting all the same information as people on campus, including my lectures. Okay, that's it for today. Utrecht Lead right now.